Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is a friend of the stations, the universities, and no stranger to our listeners, Charlie Min. Charlie Min is a film producer, documentary producer, investigative reporter. He's done a little bit of everything. And also, importantly, he has spoken to many of our classes here on campus. And he's here today because the release of his new documentary, Mexico's Bravest Man. Charlie, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Good morning, Louis.
Now, good morning. And tell us a little bit about, I mentioned that you have been here and speaking to classes, and not just on campus, but community college and some high schools, other areas. What got you interested in the borderline area? Because I know that some people may wonder, you know, what's somebody from New York doing here?
I first came down to make the Nightmare in Las Cruces, the Bowling Alley Massacre that I know that is personal to you because you were on scene that day back in 1990. And that anniversary just passed, by the way, the 26-year anniversary. That brought me into the borderland in 2009. The movie came out in 10. And because of the success of that film, fortunately it was sold to Lionsgate, which is a huge victory for the investigation so that the attention of the crime grows so that it may reach someone who knows something about what happened, so these two men could be arrested in Las Cruces for that act. The Juarez violence hit around the same time, 2008, 2009. So it was a timing thing. So because the Juarez tragedy unfolded while I was here making Nightmare in Las Cruces, that's why I started going down 300 feet from El Paso to see that Juarez, to start giving the innocent people there a voice. So it was a timing issue, and now I'm a proud El Pasoan. I've always said God put me here for a reason. My whole goal is to spread awareness, to inform and educate. And if I saved one life because of that awareness over seven films inside the Mexican war zone, then the whole thing was worth it. And I don't expect that person to thank me because at the end they did it on their own.
One of the things that well, first of all, let me back up a little bit because you mentioned Lionsgate, and some people may wonder, well, is Lionsgate going to produce a movie or a documentary, or have they already and I have missed it?
You mean other documentaries?
A documentary on the Bowling Alley Massacre.
Oh, well,
they bought the rights.
They bought the rights to the film. So now it's on Amazon, I believe, Netflix. Now there's so many outlets you can watch the movie. It was a Blockbuster, someone told me recently. I didn't even know that. They don't tell me these things, actually. You know, they buy the film and then you kind of move on to your next one. But it was because of the success of that film I was able to make other films, mainly in Mexico, mainly about the serious injustice in that country. So, again, I'm here to spread awareness, inform and educate. And if anyone needs a voice, it's the innocent Mexican people who have been murdered. Since 2008, we've had about 140,000 dead in the country.
As far as you being interested in the borderland and what's been going on in Mexico and in the Las Cruces, El Paso area, it's interesting for people who may not have tuned in to that interview we did, but it's interesting how you were lured to the El Paso Juarez area because of watching television as a college student, is that correct, or high school?
Yeah, well, I found out about the Bowling Alley Massacre that way. It was on Unsolved Mysteries. And I had been to El Paso before because I worked in Albuquerque as a journalist. So I was always curious about El Paso, what kind of city it was. And I can honestly say that it's my favorite city in the world. And I'm well-traveled. There's a charm in El Paso. It's hard to describe. It's sort of like a X factor, like an intangible thing. But El Paso is dear to my heart, and sometimes when I talk about El Paso at classes, I break down. I don't want to talk about El Paso for more than 2 minutes or I'll lose it. This city started my career. The El Paso media made my career. Like you, Louis, NPR, Channel 7, KVIA, Channel 9, Univision, Telemundo, The Audio. I can go right down the line. I'll be the first to admit it. I am nothing without the El Pasoans and the El Paso media. That's why I have to give back. It's the right thing to do, and it's the only thing to do. There's no other choice in the matter.
Now, you've received a lot of attention also within the last couple of months because when El Chapo escaped again, and then the interview that was done to
Sean Penn.
Yeah, Sean Penn. And the fact that, you know, a lot of people were wondering, what's going on here? You know, here's a guy interviewing one of the most wanted men, he doesn't let anybody know. And you were interviewed about that in New York and in various other cities. about that situation and what your thoughts were. And for people who may have missed some of those interviews, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us as far as what you learned from being in Mexico and getting interviews and what Sean Penn did.
Well, what I'm learning about, if you ask people in Mexico what they think about the El Chapo situation, they almost laugh at it. They think it's a telenovela. They think there's something behind it, like an arrangement. They don't think it's sincere. In the United States, we take it for face value. We actually take it seriously. But in Mexico, if you talk to people down there, even in Juarez, they think this whole thing is a telenovela, like a soap opera, a script, an arrangement. And we take it completely different on this side of the border. Sean Penn blew it, and he even admitted it. He did not ask, I guess, the right questions. He wanted to talk about the failed policies on the war on drugs. And that's great. He should. I think today when we talk about the drug war, we put too much of a political spin on it. From my point of view, put a humanitarian spin on it. If I had one question for El Chapo, it would be, what would you like to tell the 80,000 families that your cartel has murdered? What would you like to tell those families? You comment on that? What would you like to tell the 12,000 people in Ciudad Juarez, those families that lost that lost somebody, a loved one?
And one of the people who you have asked questions about the murders and about the situations is the subject of the latest documentary, and that is called Mexico's Bravest Man. Tell us about this film.
This film explores Julian Laziola Perez, who came into Juarez in 2011 when the city was upside down. 2010, the city had 3,111 murders. He came in March of 2011 to clean things up. By the time he left in late 2013, there were 490 murders in Juarez when he left. So it went from 3,111 to 490. That is significant. Now, I'm not saying it's 100% that he should be responsible and take all the credit, but there's no doubt he's partly responsible for that dip. So for that, we should be thankful. Now, I say all this knowing that he's been accused and he's been dogged by allegations of human rights abuse and torture his entire career when he was in Tijuana and when he was in Juarez. The film is balanced. It's fair. The tough questions are asked. I'm not here to hail him as a hero. I look at this man from both sides.
With that being said, some people might say, okay, you just said earlier in the interview that the capture of Chapo is a telenovela, perhaps a joke. And some people might say, well, you know, this gentleman that you're talking about here, perhaps there's corruption in his life, too, as far as hiding. And because people have accused the police department of being very corrupt.
Unfortunately, what's the first word you think of when you say Mexican police?
Corruption.
Corruption, correct. So this man's behind the eight ball. A lot of people believe that he sided with Cartel de Sinaloa, Chapo Guzman, because while he was chief in Tijuana, Chapo won the Tijuana drug plaza. When Laziola got to Juarez, Chapo won the Juarez drug plaza, which begs the question, was that just a mere coincidence or was it an organized conspiracy? Most Mexican people will tell you that it was an organized conspiracy.
What did you find out from your perspective? And I know as a journalist, you've got to remain objective.
He's never been charged with anything. There's allegations all over the place. But until I see solid proof and evidence, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's just the kind of person I am. I am suspicious of a lot of things. Perhaps he fought crime with crime. The other day I spoke to a UTEP class and I said, what do you guys think about this man? Is he like him, don't like him, good guy, bad guy, corrupt, innocent? One student at UTEP had the best answer. You know what that person said? He's all the above. I mean, he's a complicated man. I mean, a man in his position, it's almost impossible, in my opinion, not to make some kind of a compromise when you consider his position to be the police chief in Juarez. The question is, what was that compromise? And that moral ambiguity really fascinated me with this man. The fact that Juarez went from 3,111 murders to 490 under his watch. Let's say he is corrupt, Louis. Would you take that trade?
It's a good trade.
I agree. I want to see less innocent Mexican people murdered. So let's say he did do some things that he should not have. That dip is undeniable. And we can sit here forever and debate why it went down. That'll be forever debated in Juarez. What exactly led to the murders and what led it to decline? Because 95% of the murders in Mexico were not looked at, it begs three questions. Who was murdered, by who, and why? Very nebulous, mysterious drug war that will be forever debated.
Tell us a little bit about what you see now, now that he is gone, and the situation has definitely quieted down in Mexico from what we hear. And, of course, earlier this week, a lot of attention was on the Pope's visit.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of shifted attention away from that. But there are still a lot of things that are lying under rocks.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen the Pope come here 5 years ago, Louis. That was the time for the Pope to come. With that said, we're fortunate to have him. It's one of the biggest events in Borderland history. The situation in Juarez has gotten better. There's no doubt about it. I give Captain Munoz a lot of credit in the Juarez Police Department. No one talks about him. And last year, Juarez had 300 murders for the whole year. That was the lowest total since 2007. In January, Juarez went through 32 murders a month. So it's hovering right around one per day. Juarez is back. If you go there on the weekends, the clubs are packed. You could hear the music booming from the street. The city is back. I understand the fear and the hesitation. A lot of people were traumatized by the Juarez violence. A lot of El Pasoans to this day still tell me I'll never go back. I'm not quite sure if they know what the numbers are, though. There has been a significant decline, but I think people's trust, that'll take a long time.
Tell us a little bit about the title. So some people might take offense to that or maybe wonder,
And they already have, Louis. I'm taking some heat for this film already, and it's not even out yet. I've also taken some praise. You could be brave and corrupt. I'm not saying he is corrupt, but if he is, you could be brave and corrupt. Here's a man to lower the murder rate in two of the deadliest cities in Mexico, Tijuana and Juarez, if not the world most dangerous cities. And he survived 8 assassination attempts. You cannot make this up. For the normal person, one is a lot, and we'll remember that forever. This guy went through 8. So how did he do it? How did he lower the murder rate in Tijuana and Juarez during the most dangerous times those cities have ever had and survive 8 assassination attempts? You tell me.
Now, from your standpoint as a journalist, producer, director, the fact that you went into Mexico, you got some of these interviews, and you were exposed to a lot of the dangers and some of the things going on there, people may wonder about your safety and what went on with you, because as we heard in the Sean Penn interview, everything had to be approved by El Chapo before it was released, and a lot of journalists have died because of what they've tried to expose. And in fact, Don Winslow, who wrote recently The Cartel, a book about what's going on in the cartels, he dedicated it to all the journalists who have died because of this. You go into Mexico, not only are you American, but you're of Asian descent. So definitely you stand out above anybody else. And if you're holding a camera or somebody with you, that, puts you in the spotlight.
Well, I can't hide, like you said, Asian guy running around Juarez with a camera. I stick out. But let me just say the Mexican people have treated me beautifully. I mean, I can't say enough for them. They've come out of my movies crying, saying thank you. It's about time. Someone represented us. I've made 7 films inside the Mexican war zone. I've never gotten a threat. That's the most common question I get, Louis, is have you ever been threatened? It's never happened. If it does, I'll take it like a man. I'll deal with it if it happens.
The movie is going to be released on the 26th at Bastet. And Bastet has been very good to you as far as sharing your films with the public.
Yeah, Premier Cinemas, they're a very open-minded company. Some of these other theaters in town, I know Cinemark's the big one, but their rules are a little bit more strict. But I've been dealing with Bassett now for 6 years strong. Not just the one at Bassett, but the one at Montwood Movie 7 inside the Albertson Shopping Center on Montwood and Yarborough. So if it wasn't for those theaters, I give them full credit. I would not be here in El Paso. I just would not have made my films here. But those theaters have given me the opportunity. And as you said, it opens on February 26th. It'll run for at least a week. And the website is mexicosbravestman.com. Easily the most dangerous film I've made. This is a tough film. Lazy Ola was shot in July in Juarez last year. He's paralyzed. It's a very interesting story. He's a former military officer, and he now wants to run for mayor of Tijuana.
Charlie, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with film director, producer, reporter Charlie Min, and the latest film that he's produced is called Mexico's Bravest Man. It will be premiering at Bassett Premier Cinema on February 26th. And showtimes, I guess they're going to vary and people can check
that. Yeah,
they're
out there every 2 hours starting at 11:30, and it has a minimum 1 week run. It's completely translated between both languages. So everyone's covered there. But I'm really looking forward to the reaction to this film. This is a very polarizing figure. An amazing story, how he was able to survive all these assassination attempts and lower the murder rates in both Tijuana and Juarez.
Charlie, thank you again.
You're welcome.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.